My guest at this time is Jed Babin, who served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense in the administration of President George H.W. Bush. He is also the author of numerous books and writes frequently for The Washington Times and The American Spectator. We want to get his thoughts on two major news items at week's end: credible reports that ISIS has used chemical weapons against the Kurds in northern Iraq, and the reopening of the U.S. Embassy in Cuba on Friday. And Jed, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, good to be back with you.
Let's start with the ISIS story and the possible use of chemical weapons here. Mustard gas is what is believed to have been used. Here's the report from CNN Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr.
Multiple U.S. officials are telling CNN the Obama administration is investigating credible reports that ISIS in Syria and Iraq is in possession of mustard gas, a chemical weapon. What they are investigating is that the latest use of this may have been earlier this week in a town, a Kurdish town in northern Iraq.
And she went on to say that many of the people there suffered from symptoms and some possibly even died as a result of symptoms that are very much related to the use of chemical weapons. So, Jed, if in fact this is true, how does this change the equation if ISIS has chemical weapons?
Well, it really doesn't change anything. We're not going to do the right thing. We're not going to arm the Kurds. We're not going to go in there ourselves and try to do something with them, which I don't think is really the right path anyway. So I don't think, for us at least, it changes things. I think it changes things a lot for the neighboring countries. I think that certainly the Israelis are not going to be very happy about this. And, you know, the Arab states really can't be happy about this either. It's really their fight, Greg. They should be putting troops on the ground and planes in the air and dealing with ISIS, and they're just sitting back and watching.
Where is it possible that they got these weapons?
Well, it could be a number of places. It could be from old Iraqi stores that we found, and I have information that says that we did find them along about 2005. Could have been from Bashar Assad. Could have been a lot of places. I don't think they have the sophistication to make them themselves, because if we're talking, well, mustard gas, I guess, is not terribly hard to make. I'm certainly no expert in it. But they're certainly not going to get into the nerve gases like sarin and VX and things like that, which are, I think, beyond their capabilities.
Jed, you mentioned that you don't believe this is, for the most part, America's fight. This is the region's fight against ISIS. But from where the U.S. policy is right now, largely an air campaign, and a lot of folks have said it's an almost non-existent air campaign, given the number of sorties and the number of actual munitions dropped because of very strict rules of engagement. Do you think that when this administration tells us that fighting ISIS is a long-term game, that that's essentially right, given the ideological fight that goes along with this? Or is it simply an effort to run a sanitized war that doesn't accomplish very much?
Well, I think it's a little bit of each and, frankly, not much of either. You know, the real problem here is that they're trying to kick the can down the road. They want to leave this for the next administration to deal with, and that's what Obama's doing. He's not conducting a serious campaign. He's not conducting an ideological war at all. And that's part of the thing. We've talked about this many times. You know, you cannot win the kinetic war against the terrorists and the terrorist nations without winning the ideological war as well. And that's just something we've not been willing to even attempt to do. So I think that at this point, they're just kicking the can down the road. And, you know, the next administration can have to deal with it or not, depending on who it gets elected.
Let's shift over to Cuba now. Last month, the Cuban embassy reopened in Washington. On Friday, the U.S. embassy reopened in Havana. Other than getting a valued prisoner back that triggered the official announcement of these restored relations, obviously talks have been going on for a while prior to that. Why is the administration so eager to do this?
Well, they're eager to do this because no one else believes that it is in the United States' best interest. They want to go against the United States' best interest, and there's clearly no real value to it. I'm not aware that we got any valued prisoner back. We did not get any of the people, like that woman, Joanne Chesmart, I think her name is, that killed a New Jersey state trooper a couple of years ago and fled to Cuba. We're not getting any of those people back. So there's really nothing in this for us. And then, you know, Castro's out there saying, well, the United States owes us millions of dollars in reparations and needs to give us Gitmo back. There's just no reason to do this whatsoever.
Jed, I can imagine there's some people listening whose ears perked up when you said the reason the administration did this is because it goes against U.S. interests. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean what I said. These people, this administration has a track record of doing a lot of things that are not in the United States' best interests, and they've just continued doing it. You can go back to 2009 when they stood with Fidel Castro in condemning the efforts of the Honduran people to throw out a would-be dictator, Mr. Zelaya, and when the Honduran Supreme Court removed him when he was trying to overstay his term in office, Obama said that was a coup, and so did Fidel Castro. So these people, this administration has a very great track record of doing precisely the opposite thing than is in the American best interest.
As you have pointed out many times, this deal comes, this restoration of relations comes, without Cuba really having to do anything in exchange. And they continue to repress political dissidents and many other people that are not friends of the regime. What message does this send to other dictatorial regimes around the world?
Well, it says that Obama is their friend and not their enemy. And, you know, that's quite frankly the truth. I mean, we see what's going on with the Iran deal. We see the things that are going on in North Korea, which we're doing nothing about. We're seeing the things going on in the South China Sea with China building these artificial islands, and we're not doing anything about that. I mean, the list of things that we should be doing something about and aren't is relatively short, but there's a very long list of things we're doing that are things we shouldn't be doing.
Last question. When it comes to the trade embargo, do you suspect that that's likely to be lifted relatively soon, or with the Republican Congress, is that going to be a pretty tall order for this administration?
Well, this Republican Congress is as weak as any Congress has ever been, so Lord only knows, but I don't think even these guys are willing to cave in on that. I think that's not going to be something that's going to happen in an election year, and, you know, frankly, we're in an election year already, which election year is going to be 18 months long or so.
Right. We'll be following both issues as they continue, of course. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
Jed Babin served as Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for President George H.W. Bush. He's an accomplished author and writes frequently for both The Washington Times and The American Spectator. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.